special announcement. There is an opportunity, if you are interested. Host families are needed for several international students. They'll be attending school in Lebanon. So if you live close to Lebanon, that's an opportunity. You can see me for more information about that. They are fully insured. They have spending money, and plus you also get a monthly stipend for hosting them. So if you're interested in hosting an international student, they try to place them in Christian homes. I have the contact person there for you. Hallelujah. You ready for the word today? I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Oh, and I wanted to answer a question that I had regarding if someone was vexed to the Spirit. And vexing means to be annoyed or angry or irritated or displeased or upset. And how many know that when someone does not understand God's ways and something bad happens in their life, it's easy when you don't understand God's ways to blame God for that bad thing, right? And so they could get bitter. They could become hardened in their hearts. They could get angry at God. And how many know that if you get angry with God, it's just going to turn you away from Him and from His ways? And people have a choice in life. So when someone experiences trouble or a loss or tragedy, and they start blaming God, they could become hard, vexed, troubled. And what we need to do is we need to show them love and show them God's goodness and grace. And sometimes just letting them vent, and then after they vent, they just say, you know, well, God loves you no matter what. And so we have to, you know, and then when they get into that state, they're deceived. So someone could become vexed when they don't understand God's ways, and they could believe a lie of the enemy, and they could get bitter. You know, the Bible says, don't let a root of bitterness spring up in your life. How many know that if you have an opportunity to get bitter, don't let that seed get planted in your heart. And so the way to overcome that is through the love of God. Amen? A lot of the Pharisees, the religious mentality, were angry with God. You know? John called them a brood of vipers because they were angry with the things of God. So hopefully that answers your question. Because there was a woman in Matthew chapter 15, there was a woman of Canaan whose daughter was grievously vexed of the devil. God doesn't vex anybody. It's the devil, the enemy, who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus gives life. He doesn't steal, he doesn't kill, and he doesn't destroy. So someone who doesn't understand God's ways, it's very easy for them to become vexed. Amen, and just pray for him, love him. And, you know, the anointing and the Holy Spirit can soften their hearts. Amen? Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to start with verse 14. I want to talk to you today about you are free to use your gifts for God. You are free to use your gifts for God. Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants. Everybody say own servants. And delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another two, and to another one. To every man, according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. He that had received five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. And likewise, everybody say likewise. He that had received two, he also gained other two. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants come and reckon with them. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, you delivered unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, you good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, you delivered unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained other two talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he that received the one talent came and said, Lord, I know that you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not strawed. And I was afraid. Everybody say afraid. And went and hid your talent in the earth. Lo, there has come thou that is yours. His Lord answered and said unto him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Then you ought therefore to have put money in the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or interest. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which has 10 talents. For unto every man that has shall be given, and shall have an abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, I want you to notice some things of this. First of all, there was a king who went into a far country. He's talking about the kingdom of God. It's a type and a shadow. It's a parable of the kingdom of God. And how many know that Jesus being in heaven is like a far country from here? Amen? But while he was here, he gave us his goods, his gifts, his riches, his valuables. And I want you to notice that they were his own servants. How does one become a servant? You're either purchased or you're born into the master's house. Amen? He's talking to you and I. He's talking about a type and a shadow of the kingdom of God. How many know that God has given us some gifts? Amen? And he says that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance, but what if you never use your gift? What if you just take your gift and hide it because of fear? You're afraid of what people will think. You're afraid of failing. You're afraid of not being accepted. You're afraid of the things that you might lose if you use this gift. So many things that you could be afraid of. Fear will paralyze you from doing what you need to do. Okay? So they were his own servants. They were either purchased. How many know that we've been purchased? Amen? Our bodies are not our own. Say that with me. Say, my body is not my own. How many know that we take care of things better when they're not ours sometimes? Oh, did I just say that? I'm speaking to myself, by the way. We've got to take care of the Lord's body. It's the Lord's body. Say, my body is the Lord's body. So we see that trust was committed to these servants. Okay, God trusted them enough to give them his goods. Now, to some he gave, to one he gave five, to the other two, and to the other one. You notice the one who got five never said, how come I don't have those two? And the one that got two never said, how come I don't have those five? And the one that said one, how come I don't have the five or the two? They never said that. Guess what? Your talents are different than my talents. You ought to be who God created you to be. Don't try to be someone else. If you try to be someone else, you're going to fail. There's only one person that can be you, and that's you. There's only one of you. You're like a fingerprint and a snowflake. There's so many, but not one is like the other. Each one of us have a uniqueness, have a difference. Let's celebrate our differences. God is a God of variety. He could have made us all look the same and talk the same. And what a boring place that would have been. How many know that our God is not boring? If we didn't have differences, we would never have an opportunity to walk in love. Oh, it's easy to get along with people who are just like you sometimes. Sometimes when you encounter people that are just like you, there's some friction. Ooh, it's going to be an interesting day today. Amen? So the Bible says in Romans 12:6, we all have gifts according to the grace of God. God has given to each one a gift or a gift. Everyone has at least one. Amen? But now what you do with that gift is entirely up to you. Now you can take that gift and you can put that gift on the shelf and you can admire it. You could dust it. You could just say, oh, look at my gift. Isn't my gift beautiful? Yeah, but your gift was not designed to sit on a shelf. Your gift was designed to be traded, to be exchanged, to be used, to have something done with. In other words, your gift was designed to be shared with someone else. Oh, some people think so highly of themselves that they think they are God's gift to the world. And what they bring, no one else can bring. No, your gift is not yours. It's the master's. You're simply a steward. You're simply a servant. And it's up to you. You have to be faithful with what you've been given. You know, God doesn't ask you to be faithful with something that you've never had. Now, he does tell us to be faithful with someone else's stuff. But, you know, the whole principle about this is faithfulness. Amen? They were given gifts according to their ability. All right? And the one with five. See, Christ, he has furnished his church with everything necessary to fulfill his divine commission. How many know that God's got a divine commission? Every one of us are called to represent the kingdom. Every one of us have a calling, have a gifting, have a purpose. He's given us everything so that while he's away from earth and he gave us his truth, his laws, his promises, and his power. So while we're here, he wants to instruct us through the word. He wants to teach us and enable us and guide us through his spirit. He wants us to profess his truth, observe his laws, apply his promises, and employ his power. Now, those are pretty good things. That ought to be a bigger amen than that. He wants you to profess his truth, practice his principles, embrace his promises, and employ his power. God made you so you can't fail. Why? Because everything you need to do, you're doing it through him, not through you. That's why when people start looking at you, you just point them to the right one who receives the glory. It's not about me, it's about him. Amen? I'm just here as a signpost to guide you to the destination. The destination is Christ, not me, not man, not this world. It is our duty to be a blessing and to benefit someone else. For God so loved part of the world. For God so loved three people in the world. He loved the world with all of its diversity, with all of its difference, with all of its uniqueness. He loved the world. And what did he do? He gave a gift to the whole world. The good, the bad, and the ugly. He died for them. He didn't exclude anyone out of his plan. He gave it to the world. Now, some of our gifts may not be for the whole world. It may be to a person. Did you know that Aaron was called to Moses? Moses was called to the nation of Israel. Jonah was called to Nineveh. The disciples were called to Jesus. Ananias was called to Paul. Paul was called to the Gentiles, to kings, and to the Israelites. Peter was called to the Jews. Some, you might be called to a place. Maybe you're called to Asia or Europe or Australia, the land down under. Maybe you're gifted for a geographical place or a people group or an age group. Let me just tell you, there is somewhere where you fit in. All God's asking you to do is get in your place and everything will work smoothly. Can you say amen? Now, two out of three servants did well. The Bible says they went and traded. They went and exchanged. They weren't afraid to take a risk. They weren't afraid to step out. They didn't care if they lost everything because they were going to invest everything that they received. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I pray that I get all this out. Ephesians 5. How are we going to use our gifts? How are we going to exercise the freedom that we've been given to use our gifts for God? It's going to take wisdom. Amen? Say wisdom. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 14. He says, wherefore he says, awake you that sleep and arise from the dead. How many know that he wants us to arise from dead works? He wants us to arise from dead faith. Faith without works is what? Dead. Today I'm calling you out of the dead. Arise, wake up. Some of us have been sleeping. Because when you sleep, you don't use your gift. My goodness. And Christ shall give you light. Now notice verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. How are you going to redeem the time? By walking in wisdom. Isn't that right? See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time for the days of evil. How many want their time redeemed? How many want to have restored what the locusts have eaten, what the cankerworm has eaten, what the palmer worm has eaten? Amen? Well, you've got to walk in wisdom. What's the source of your wisdom? It's the Word of God. God has given us, Jesus is our wisdom. And when we walk like Jesus, how many know that what Jesus did in 3.5 years, it takes people a lifetime to do? Why? Because he was wise. He didn't get distracted from his plan. The devil couldn't shake him off his purpose. The devil couldn't stop him from exercising his gift. No one could stop him from trading what he was given of God so that he could get more. The devil tried to put every obstacle in front of Jesus to stop him. Criticism. Oh, Jesus, you're a wine bibber. You cast out devils by the prince of devils. Oh, yeah? Well, if I cast out devils, how do you cast them out? They criticized him. They tried to find every way to stop him. They tried to pick and to, I don't know what the word I was looking for. They just tried, the Pharisees tried to get under his skin. They tried everything they did. They even killed him. But they couldn't stop him. Could not stop him from exercising his gift. Could not stop him from doing what he was called to do. Could not stop him from releasing what he was given by God into the people he was called to. And guess what? We ought to have that same attitude. The devil can't stop me. The world can't stop me. My family can't stop me. My friends can't stop me. My job can't stop me. I'm going to do what I'm called to do. Because how many know the devil will try to stop you? He'll try to create an atmosphere that's so comfy and cushy, and oh, when you get in it, it's good, but all of a sudden, what you're supposed to be doing now is passing you by. And now you got to make a choice. Sometimes you got to choose to exit your comfort zone. I had to leave my family in Illinois and go to an unknown land called Tulsa, Oklahoma. Prior to that time, well, I can't say that because on a crusade, I did go to Tulsa, Oklahoma for the first time with the church I was attending at that time. But the Lord spoke to me. I remember walking home one day from work. I was working at a group home during that time, and it was about maybe 15 blocks from my house. So often I would take that time, I would walk and I would pray. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whoever you want me to be, I'll be. And see, you got to let the Lord dictate this, what he wants you to be, amen? Now you could come up with some great ideas of what you think you should be, but how many know that the Creator knows best, amen? So I would pray this prayer and I'd be walking, all of a sudden, after a period of time, I was praying and seeking God, seeking what he wanted me to do. He downloaded in my heart an instruction. Go to Rhema Bible Training Center. Now, my reaction was, I didn't say what? I'm just telling you from my own experience. I said, okay. I filled out the paperwork. I sent in my application. And we were getting ready to go to New Zealand. This was in 1990. We were getting ready to go to New Zealand for the month of July. Because if you go to New Zealand, you spend 17 and a half hours in a plane. You arrive the next day because you cross the international date line, and it takes you a week just to get used to the time change. You're wanting to go to sleep at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and wake up at, because they're 17 hours ahead in time. So if you're going to go to New Zealand, you got to plan to stay for at least about a month. Okay? This was our second trip to New Zealand. And so after filling in the application, after doing my part, how many know we have a part to play? I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, it would really be nice for you to confirm what you've called me to do. And I wouldn't ask you to pray that unless you've done what he's told you to do first. Don't say, Lord, if you have this person come to me, I know it's from you. No. You don't put out fleeces, you be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So I already did what I was supposed to do, and I went to at that time, the church that I was going to had started 5 other churches in different areas about 10, 15 miles apart. And I went to our sister church, and it was a Sunday, and the pastor there, which was the pastor's wife's father, so the pastor's father-in-law. And he preached a message about peace. And I went up for prayer. And after the service, someone came up to me. I'd never met him before, never seen him before. And he points to me, he says, you know what? You look like you're a candidate for Rhema. When he said that, I started laughing. I mean, you've all seen me laugh sometimes. Well, it was one of those moments where the laughter occurred for about 10 minutes. You know why I laughed? Because it was God confirming to me. And then I told the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to New Zealand for a month. Lord, I'm asking you to give my acceptance letter before I go so I'm not thinking about it when I'm in New Zealand. And don't you love God? The day before we left for New Zealand, guess what came in the mail? My acceptance letter. Amen? How many know God will guide you along the way? He's not going to call you out into the unknown. So, redeeming the time for the days of evil, verse 17, wherefore be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. How many know God wants you to understand what his will is? So many people I talk to, what's God called you to do? I don't know. What's God called you to do? I don't know. You know, it's like that cartoon, which way do we go? Which way do we go? I don't even know where that's from. It's one of those things in my childhood that, you ever find that stuff in your childhood just creeps up sometimes? It's like, where'd that come from? God wants you to understand what his will is. His will is for you to serve him. How many know it's God's will for believers to be in church? You know, I've met so many believers, oh, I can have church on my own. Oh, really? So you mean to tell me the head of the church, which is Jesus, went through all the trouble to put the gifts in the church, to build the church, and he doesn't want you to come? I don't think so. Amen. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. We're still talking about how to be a servant of God, how to use his gifts. You got to have wisdom. Amen? You got to have wisdom. Let's look at verse 11. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. He says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Say, Lord, correct me. Chastise me. How many know that correcting and chastising isn't necessarily good, but it's necessary? There is not one believer on this planet that has never had to be chastised or corrected. Amen? Let's go on, verse 12. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father, the son whom he delights. Happy is the man, verse 13, that finds wisdom, and the man that gets understanding. How many know that you can find wisdom and you can get understanding? Where do you get it? In the Word of God. Verse 14. For the merchandise, King James says, merchandise. What do you do with merchandise? You trade it, you exchange it, you sell it, you buy it. Sounds to me like a gift. For the merchandise of it is better than merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof is better than fine gold. So wisdom, you can gain it. You can increase it. Amen? It's a commodity. It's a commodity of heaven. If you were to look at heaven's commodity exchange, wisdom is going at 10 scriptures. Understanding is going at 15 scriptures. And it's increasing every day. I'm just giving you a little... That's just a little humor. Verse 15, she, talking about wisdom. Hey guys, the Bible refers to wisdom as a she, so sometimes we better listen. And the men said, amen. Oh, you don't think God can speak through your wife? You know how we got to Pennsylvania? Fiona said to me one day, you know, we ought to go to Pennsylvania to help my dad. And I said, you know what, I think so. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. You better listen to some of the things that your wife says. You better be open to listen. Come on now. And the man said, amen. She, referring to wisdom. Besides, your wives are there to help you. If God didn't think we didn't need help, he wouldn't put a woman with it. But we needed help, man. We need all the help we can get. Do you realize, I got to work on this for a minute. Some of you got this out of balance. You think you're all that. Well, you want to try to do it on your own, go ahead. But obviously, for those of you that are married, you couldn't do it on your own. Okay, I'm moving on. But men, you're not out of the net. I might work on you in a little bit. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you can desire are not to be compared to her wisdom. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. How many want a pleasant life? How many want a peaceful life? Well, you're not going to have it without wisdom. Her ways are, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Lay hold of that tree of life and swing from the branches. Amen, like Tarzan. And happy is everyone, everybody say everyone, that retains her. Because the Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens, by his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. So we're not going to be able to exchange our talents without wisdom. It's going to take wisdom. How many know that the two servants, one received five, one received two, but both increased the same way? Both doubled, both were considered faithful. Amen? Now, when we take what God gives us and use it for his kingdom, for his glory, for his honor, increase will come. You cannot but increase. Just ask Job. Job, who, it's my personal belief that he didn't know which enemy he was facing because he doesn't mention it too often. And he said, I'm not going to make any bad thing about God, but Job lost everything. And you don't want the friends that were hanging around Job hanging around you because they were just criticizing and condemning and all that sorts of stuff. But how many know that it was when Job prayed for his friends, when he used the gift that God gave him, his ability to pray, that it was his ability to pray that unlocked the blessing of God, and God brought twice more than what he lost. So, how do you trade in wisdom's merchandise? Number one, you've got to find out what God's will is for your life. How do you find that out? Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. You got to find out what God's will is for your life. Once you find out what his will is, then you can do what he's called you to do. You got to find out what God's will is for your life. Look at verse 9 of Colossians chapter 1. Now this is a prayer that Paul prayed for the church at Colossae. And if it's a prayer that he prayed for the church, guess what? It's a prayer that you can pray for an individual. It's a prayer that you can pray for a group. It's a prayer that you can pray for others. Can you say amen? Verse 9 says, for this cause, since we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be. Everybody say might be. Why does it say might be? Because only those who embrace the will of God will receive the will of God. How many know that sometimes God's will for us is to change things, but when you don't want to change, you're never going to experience God's will? Because you would rather hold on to your way of doing things above the Lord's way. For some of us, it's time to let go of some things. Pray that you might, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You can Lord, what is your will for my life? Do you know, how God wants to tell you? He wants to show you. He's not hiding it from you, but you've got to seek him. You've got to have a relationship with him. You've got to get close to God. The Bible says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. You've got to take that step and you've got to nestle in close to the Father and you've got to get his heart. When you touch his heart with worship, with prayer, with praise, with meditation, when you touch his heart, he will begin to reveal the secrets of his kingdom to you. He'll show you exactly what he's called you to do. He'll give you an instruction. And for those who are really serious about following God, they'll do what he tells them. I want you to go here. I don't want to. Go here. I don't want to. You ever deal with that with kids? Sometimes I struggle putting clothes on Gabriel. I will bring something out. He'll say, I don't want to wear that. That's not cool. Now, I must confess, I get into the flesh. And I say, fine, go pick out your own clothes. Father, forgive me. So you got to find out. It's your job to find out what God's will for your life is. Notice that the master gave the talents to his servants. They were in close proximity. He didn't mail it to them. He didn't send them in a box. Here's your talent. No, he gave it to them. There was a personal interaction between the master and the servants. That's intimacy. That's fellowship. Amen? That's closeness with God. The closer you get to God, the more you'll discover about his kingdom and his ways and his heart. Number two, you've got to develop your skill in whatever God has called you to do. You know, I've listened to some of my tapes years ago. Thank God I've changed. Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes you did I say that? And you know, it's funny because unlike Fiona, I like listening to myself. Not in a vain way, but I learned to correct my mistakes when I listen to myself speak. I listen to my CDs. You listen to your own tapes? Yeah. But Fiona doesn't like to listen to herself on tape or on a recording. But you've got to develop your skill. How many know that the men that came to David in the cave of Adullam in 1 Samuel 22, they were depressed, they were stressed, they were down and out, and there was about 400 of them, and they all attracted to David. But you know what? They became his mighty men. They were skilled in all sorts. Some guys were able to wield the sword with two hands. Other guys were highly skilled. They developed their skill because it caused David to defeat every enemy that he faced. You got to develop your skill. Amen? That's called being teachable. Did you know that one? There was a man in the book of Acts called Apollos? And he was a very fiery speaker. He would preach and he would proclaim and the Jews couldn't really argue with him. But you know, Aquila and Priscilla, they came to him and they showed him a better way. What he was doing was good. But see, they had an opportunity to develop and enhance his skill, so he took instruction from someone else. Are you able to take instruction? If you're teachable, then you're going to increase in your gift. Amen? Number three, you've got to make it your business to follow Christ. What does that involve? It means denying yourself. If any man want to come after me, let him deny himself. Pick up his cross. Oh, but I don't want to pick up the cross. It's rough. It's hard. It's heavy. Pick it up. Aren't you glad Jesus went to the cross? That doesn't mean you're going to have to physically go to a cross. What is your cross? It's what you're called to do. You know, if I didn't follow God to Tulsa, I don't know where I would be today. If you knew the town that I come from, you'd think I'd be messed up. Fiona says, I don't know how you made it out here alive. She's been there. She's seen it. You got to make it your business to follow Christ. Jesus walked by a fisherman. He was cleaning his nets. He said, come follow me. What did he do? He dropped what he was doing. He dropped what he had been doing for years. He stopped what his plans were. He put his plans on the altar, and he followed after Christ. Now, Christ used the skill that he developed in casting out a net and in bringing fish and in finding where the fish are. He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. He took the skill that they had in the world, and he now transferred it over to use for the kingdom. But Peter made it his business to follow Christ. Some people won't follow Christ unless everything is in such a way. I don't want to go there, Lord. It's too dark. I don't want to go there, Lord. It's too hot. I don't want to go there, Lord. It's too cold. I don't want to go there, Lord. I don't know anybody. Fine. Then when the Lord comes back and he says, what'd you do with my gift? And you're not going to have anything to give him. You're going to be like the wicked and slothful servant. Everybody say, whoo. Number four, you've got to invest yourself back to the master. What did Ruth say to Naomi? Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Your place of living will be my place of living. You've got to invest yourself back into God. Zacchaeus, he was a short man. He was the head IRS. He was a manager in the IRS department. He was an accountant. He was skilled with numbers. He knew about profit. He was a rich man. And Jesus was coming by one day, and little Zacchaeus, he had to climb a tree. He had to leave his comfort zone. He had to climb up. He had to step up to something. He had to step up where he could see Christ. And he got up on the tree, and he looked. And when Jesus walked by, Jesus said, today, Zacchaeus, you're coming to dinner with me. So Zacchaeus came down, and instantly his life was changed. He said, if I've wronged anybody, I'll pay them back four times. He invested himself back to his master. I'm yours, Lord. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. When God told Abraham to give up his only son, and the Lord spoke to him, he said, here am I, Lord. You got to invest yourself back into the master. We are just a lump of clay, but he is the potter. He is the master designer. He knows how to form and to fashion and to shape your life. He knows the picture that he wants you to become. You're a mighty man of God. You're a mighty woman of God. You're a virtuous woman. He speaks about you according to your future. Not what you are, but what he wants you to become. And if we invest ourselves back into the master, we'll become what he speaks over us. But it's when we hold on. When we say it's mine, we're saying it's not yours. When we say this is my life, Father, I have the right to choose. Yes, you do. Then you also have a right to experience whatever consequence you choose. Oh yeah, see, we do have the ability to choose, but we forget that there are consequences for our choices. There are consequences. The one servant, he chose to yield to fear. He chose to hide what he was given. Matter of fact, he buried it so that no one can see. I'm just going to hide in here so that no one can see me. I don't want anybody to see me. But then the master came, and he hadn't done anything. With what all he had was one. He couldn't even manage one. He couldn't manage one gift, one talent. He went and hid it. And see, when the Lord comes back, it's going to be like a thief in the night. That's why he wants us to, while we're here, we need to occupy until he comes. We need to be about the Father's business. Even more so, the Bible tells us that we need to encourage one another, provoke one another in love, not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together as such a love. We need to encourage one another. You got to come to church. You got to be here. We got to encourage one another because we're in a war for souls. And there is an enemy out there, and he wants to take as many people to hell as he can. And all he has to do is deceive them into thinking that if they hide their gift, they'll be okay. He was a wicked and slothful servant. He did not share his gift with anybody else. He kept it to himself. That's not how the body of Christ is designed. What if my hand was to say, you know what, Pishka, I'm tired of hanging around with you. I'm just going to go do my own thing. Well, I got information. Well, you're attached. You can only go so far. But you know, if my hand just got tired of hanging around, you know, tired of riding the wave, if it decided just to do its own thing, the only way it can do its own thing is if it gets severed from the body. But then, in that severing, the blood ceases to flow, the life ceases to flow, it gets cold, it gets brittle, and it begins to deteriorate. But see, we are part of a body. We are one body in Christ. And every body part has its place and has its function. Thank God I don't hear with my eyes. Thank God I don't see with my ears. I'd have to go like this. Can you think about driving a car when you have to see with your ears? You know? Thank God I don't walk on my hands. It'd be kind of odd to have size 14 hands, as, you know, small feet and big hands. Look at your body, how every part works together. How many people have to think today, okay, it's time to breathe. Okay, breathe, breathe. We didn't have to think about breathing. There are functions in our body that are automatic. They just occur. Same thing is true with the body of Christ. Your gift is your lifestyle. Your gift that you have received from God is when no one is looking, when no one is watching, and when you're by yourself. You are what God has given you. You know, before I realized I was called, I can remember we would go out for coffee after church, because in my hometown there are 3 truck stops that are open 24 hours a day, and you can sit and have coffee for, at that time it was $1, you know, and you could sit and drink, I mean, you could have pots of coffee, and we would go and fellowship in the truck stops. And I can remember there'd be a group of us sitting around the table, and we'd be sharing and encouraging one another, and people say, well, I'm believing God for this. And I said, well, what scriptures are you standing for? Even before I realized I was called, that thing was coming out. But now, see, now that I realize I'm called, I've got to do something with it. I have to pursue it. I have to follow the instructions. I had to leave Illinois to go to Tulsa, then back to Illinois, then to Cleveland, Tennessee, then to Pennsylvania. But if I hadn't followed God in the little things, faithfulness. What makes a good steward? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. You're willing to stick at it. Stick at it, stick at it, stick at it, because eventually God rewards faithfulness. Faithfulness is rewarded. Faithfulness has a crown with it. God is pleased with faithfulness because he's faithful. So these guys succeeded, 2 out of the 3 succeeded because they did something with what they had. They doubled their how do you double what you have? You have to do what John 15:7 says. You have to abide in the vine. And you have to let his words abide in you. And then when that occurs, you can ask whatever you will, and it shall be done. Do you know when you have the power and the ability to ask whatever you will, and it shall be done, increase is going to follow? When you are empowered to say, whatever you ask shall be done. But you got to do John 15:7. You got to abide in the vine, and you got to let his words abide in you. We're never going to make it if we don't let the Word of God abide in us. How do you know if the Word of God abides in you? If it comes out of you. If the Word isn't coming out of you, then I doubt if it's in you. Ooh, Pastor, you're tough today. Well, it's my job to help you grow up. Amen? I don't mind changing diapers for a period of time. But thank God when the potty training comes. Amen. Beware of what you sow, because that will grow. Galatians 6, whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. God is not mocked, the Bible says. For what a man sows. What did the man who received one sow? He sowed nothing. What did he get? Nothing. It works. Well, I never receive anything from God. Well, how much do you give? Do you give of your time? Do you serve in an area? I'll just let you ponder on that for a moment. Selah. Pause and think about that. You know, God expects a return. When the master returned, he expects increase. He expects growth. Are you there? Have you all gone home? You have to be willing to serve in any capacity, Isaiah 1:19. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Amen? Do you have a willing heart? And now the one servant, he knew some characteristics of the master that weren't necessarily true. But it was fear. Fear was the primary reason why he didn't do what he did, what he was supposed to do. How come the other two were able to do what they did? Because they didn't have any fear. Or if they had fear, they did it anyway. They took the risk. They invested their lives. They took what they had and they gave it. They exchanged it. The Bible says they traded it. I'm giving you some principles on how to increase from trading. How do you use your gift? Whatever talent, ability you have, do it for the Lord. Ask the Lord, say, Lord, how can I benefit others with this gift? What can I do to help others? You know, we need to help one another. No man is an island unto himself. There's going to come a time when we all need someone else to lean on. And then the Bible says, lean on me. I can wrap it better. Lean on me, and you will see. God will make you free. Oh, hallelujah. And you know, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. So be careful in praying for much. That means you're going to have more responsibility. Do you realize that as a pastor, when I'm standing before the Lord, I'm under a greater judgment? Because I had the privilege of teaching people, and God is going to judge me in a greater way, because maybe if my teaching led you astray, then I'm going to be judged more severely. Preachers and teachers, the Bible says, come under a greater judgment. And I take my responsibility very seriously. Every time I preach, I ask the Lord, what do you want to say to the people today? And whatever he puts on my heart, that's what I say. And it's always funny because, you know, you never know how it's all going to turn out. But how many know that you can be a faithful and a good servant today? Amen? You can enter into the joy of the Lord by simply walking in wisdom, and doing something with what you have been given. God doesn't ask you for much more than that. What do you have? Okay, just use that. What did he say to Moses when he was before the Red Sea? What am I supposed to do, God? I've got the Red Sea here, and I've got the Egyptian army behind me. What's in your hand? A stick. Use that. Okay, I lift it up. Moses used a stick. Come on now. Peter used a net. Cast your net on the other side. I don't feel like it, but nevertheless, at your word, whoom. Holy cow, I can't bring in all these fish. He used a net. Jesus used bread and fish. He used a two-piece fish dinner from Long John Silver's with hush puppies. And he multiplied it. He used what they had. Amen? When you use what you have, God will multiply it. But some of you need to come out of the fear, because you've been hindered by fear by not using what you've been given. The enemy has deceived you into thinking that if you just hold on to what you have, you'll be okay. But if you hold on to it, it will never increase. See, in order for the fish and the bread to increase, it had to get into the hands of the master. There had to be an exchange. There had to be a trade. What are we going to do? Well, here's a little boy with his lunch. Here you go, Jesus. I'm giving it to you. He invested what he had back into the kingdom, and the kingdom then multiplied it. And the Lord will do the same thing for you too. Amen? I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, if there's ever an area in our life where we have represented a wicked and slothful servant, Father, we ask you to forgive us right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we repent for our slothfulness. We repent for our wickedness. Father, we repent for yielding to fear and not trusting you in the name of Jesus. But Father, I ask you right now to make clear what your will is. Fill us with the knowledge of your will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that we can walk worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing you in all things. Oh, hallelujah. If you're here today and you need to know what God's will is for your life, you need to have a clear direction. I just want you to put your hand up. I'm not going to have you come up. Hallelujah. I see those hands. I see those hands. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, so this message was for a timely, it's for this time and for this hour. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. Now, as a servant, everyone that raised your hand, you've been given a gift. You've been given a talent. You've been given an ability. Now, you've got to invest that into the kingdom of God. You need to ask the master, say, They kind of understood that when they received something from the master, they just went to using it right away. So I want you to, everybody to stand up right now. Stand up right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Those of you that raised your hand, and everybody, I just want us to cry out and to ask God for wisdom right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. See, because what you seek can't come from the laying on of hands. It comes from the Father directly into your heart. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you are our wisdom. And Lord, we need your wisdom. We need some understanding, Lord, so that we can walk on the path that you've chosen for our life. Say this, say, Lord, I'm willing to be what you want me to be, to do what you want me to do, to go where you want me to go. My life is yours. It's not mine. I give it to you, not holding on to anything. Set me free from myself in Jesus' name. And Lord, I break every grip that fear has on people's minds, that fear has on their bodies. Father, that reluctancy to obey you, that reluctancy to step out in faith, I break it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I call your people free right now in Jesus' name. You're free to move about the kingdom in Jesus' name. I break fear in this place. I break every hindrance in this place in the name of Jesus. I break every selfish intent, every motive of self-preservation. And Lord, I pray that your people would rise up and boldly invest themselves in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Just take a moment. I want you to quiet your minds. And I just want you to open your heart. Because God will speak to you in your spirit, in your heart, the hidden man of the heart. He'll speak to you in the still small voice. He'll begin to give you an instruction, a step. And maybe you need to get alone with God. Maybe you need to lock yourself in a room somewhere and you need to cry out to God. Maybe you need to seek His face in a greater way. That's a way that you can invest yourself into God. You got to get alone with God, away from every distraction, and let God speak to you. Sometimes we're too distracted to hear His voice. Shut off the TV sometimes and just get alone with God. I'm telling you, He'll speak to you. He's a good God. He wants you to walk in His will. He has plans to prosper you and not to harm you. But you've got to invest yourself. Some of you that can come to other services, come. Get the word in you. I'm telling you. Take what you have. Some of us have time. Use the time for God. Some of us have other things that we're not using for the kingdom. There's some people here that can train younger people. There's people that have wisdom in areas of life that you can be a blessing to those of us that are younger. The Bible says for the older women to teach the younger women. There's things that we can learn from you. Take time to teach. Take time to share. Invest your life. Some of you, Father, in Jesus' name, deliver us, oh God. Deliver us. And then some of you have been so faithful that God's increasing. God's increasing. God's increasing. He's increasing. He's increasing. Some of you just take to something to do. You do it with joy. And He's increasing you. He's going to give you extra talents like He gave to the one that made 10. He took away the one that didn't do anything with it, and He gave it to the one that did something with it. God's increasing you. Some of you are experiencing His increase. Hallelujah. There's more increase. You ain't seen nothing yet. Hallelujah. Someone say praise the Lord. What do you get out of today? Go and do something with what you have. That's all. Go and do something with what you have. A steward is one who is faithful, one who pleases God, and one who does what He says. Even when we don't feel like it, even when it's not pleasant for us, but God will reward it, I guarantee it. Amen? Well, I hope this was a blessing to you today. Hallelujah. Anybody else have anything? I want to give you an opportunity. If you have a gift, this is a place to start sharing it. This is a safe place. Amen?
Yes, today is the day that Julie and I have to preach in the nursing home. If anybody, at 1:30, I have to be there to start collecting, to start getting, you know, going to the floors and getting people downstairs. If anybody wants to come and help, they can meet me up. They can meet me after church or meet me. It is at Spring Creek Rehabilitation Center at 29th and Paxton Street in Harrisburg. I know for some people who live in Lebanon and Palmyra, that's about a 15-mile trip, but I do normally have people who help us if there's anybody who wants to help in music or even just help move wheelchairs around. You can see me after the service.
Amen. Well, you ready to do what the word of the Lord says? Say, I will be a faithful servant, and I will enter into his joy. Because I'm a doer of the word and not a hearer only. God bless you. Have an awesome day.